Fractured has been examining how North Carolina's broken mental health system affects people in the criminal justice system. Now we turn our focus to how these problems affect others, like children who wait for weeks or months in hospital emergency departments because there's simply no place for them to go. And people who head to emergency rooms in crisis, only to find the average wait for a state psychiatric hospital bed is more than 2 weeks. As WFAE's Dana Miller Irvin reports in this fifth installment of our series, Fractured, you just have to show up in an emergency room to understand.
The emergency room is supposed to be a place to go in a medical crisis. It's not supposed to be a place to live for days or weeks. But that's what's been happening for many North Carolinians in the midst of a mental health crisis. They need a psychiatric hospital bed, but they can't get one. The problem's so common, there's a name for it. It's called boarding. On any given day this past January, an average of 350 North Carolinians waited in emergency rooms after they'd been told they needed a hospital bed, state data shows. They boarded in ERs because no psychiatric hospital beds were available, either in a state hospital or a nonprofit or for-profit one, like Atrium or Navant. Alexis Klunk knows what that's like. At 17, she's already boarded multiple times, her mom, Crystal, says. Alexis struggles with PTSD and suicidal feelings.
Well, when you were 10, that was the first time you had to go, and Dad and I would not leave you because there were adults, and Dad and I slept on the floor.
That's probably why I was so scared. I remember from, like, when I was experiencing it, I was sure. That's how I know, like, that I was a little kid.
Crystal says she's tried to avoid bringing Alexis to the ER. One time she and her husband took over a week off from work, just so they could watch Alexis at home until a bed became available. But sometimes, Crystal says, she's had no choice. She remembers one of those visits when Alexis waited several days in the ER.
In that waiting room, there was, I remember, a lady across from us, and she was coming off of drugs. Because I remember you being like, what's wrong with her?
She was rocking back and forth, and she was sweating like crazy. She had, like, blondish hair.
I think so.
She looked like she was about to die.
Hospital emergency rooms are designed to quickly stabilize patients in a crisis, then move them out. They're not good environments for those in a mental health crisis, says Dr. Kevin Steinel. He heads emergency medicine for Cone Health. Alexis has never stayed in one of his ERs, but Steinel says even the best emergency departments aren't good for those struggling with their mental health.
The ER is a bright, loud, noisy, sometimes very chaotic, always changing environment that's on 24/7, 365. Just imagine yourself being in that setting for, you know, 1 week, 1 month, 6 months.
It's especially bad for kids, Steinel says. They don't get schooling and they can't play outside. And it's not the place to get the treatment many need.
What gets a patient or person through crisis, meds might be one part, but it might be therapy, counseling, giving them skills and tools to avoid crisis or to, you know, empower themselves in some way. Those are all things that typically aren't happening on a consistent basis in an emergency department setting.
Adults with good insurance and easily treated problems can get a bed in a community hospital in a day, Steinel says. But uninsured and hard-to-manage patients wait much longer. And if you're a child like Alexis and need a juvenile bed, or if you're older and need a geriatric psych ward...
I kind of coined the term, well, that's kind of a road to nowhere, because literally there was next to nowhere that we could find to accept these folks.
Cone has a team of social workers to help patients find placements, but it's still difficult, Steinel says, and it's even harder for families. Sometimes they just can't cope anymore. In extreme cases, he's seen children or elderly people abandoned in the ER.
It's almost a tag you're it phenomenon. In other words, we are tired, we can't do this any longer, good luck, it's now your problem.
Some children have been abandoned for weeks. State data shows that 27 kids boarded in emergency rooms during the first 3 months of this year alone. 11 of them were in the custody of county social service departments. Cohn says DSS children board for an average of 66 days in their ERs. Boarding is a problem for the community, too. Steinel says boarding behavioral health patients typically take up 20% of his beds. That eats into the department's ability to quickly treat everyone.
They might stay in our department, in some cases, for upwards of 6 months in time. If that happens, we lose the ability to care for hundreds of patients through that one bed.
Boarding wasn't a problem when Steinel first became an ER doc 25 years ago. That was before North Carolina overhauled its mental health system, cutting in half the number of state psychiatric beds and converting outpatient care into a privatized system which relies on Medicaid. A lot of people got left out. Today, there are 1.2 million uninsured North Carolinians, according to Cody Kinsley, the secretary of the state's Department of Health and Human Services. That includes many with serious mental illnesses. Some end up on the streets, some end up in jails, and many wait in emergency rooms. ERs used to be canaries in the coal mine, the first sign of breaks in the state's mental health system. But not anymore, Kinsley says.
Frankly, we're way past canaries in a coal mine. I mean, this has been a crisis for a long time, and our healthcare system is feeling it more acutely now than ever because of the staffing challenges they're facing. But it didn't just come on the scene.
Those with the most complicated mental health problems might need to be in a state psychiatric hospital. But staffing shortages mean that only 600 of North Carolina's 900 beds are operating. And many of those are already filled with people who won't be leaving anytime soon. That's because one-third of the beds are filled with inmates who need care just to be able to stand trial. 4 in 10 of the remaining beds house patients who are ready for discharge, state data shows. But it can take months before they can leave because there's no place for them to go due to the lack of community care for those with mental health needs. The result? Boarding patients who need a bed in a state psych hospital wait in ERs an average of 16 days. Community hospitals, whether nonprofit or for profit, are a different story. It turns out there actually are enough psych beds for adults there. But on average, only 80% of them are in operation at any given time, state data shows. Staffing shortages contribute, but Secretary Kinsley says hospitals often choose not to take patients who either lack insurance or whose insurance won't pay enough. North Carolina's Medicaid program pays significantly less for mental health care than programs in other states. And national data shows the state's private insurers pay less for mental health care than insurance companies in most other states, too.
You know, part of that calculus is finances, that either those people don't have insurance or they're underinsured or the rates aren't sufficient for them to maintain the staff necessary for the complex level of care they need to provide.
And if you're waiting in the ER for residential care, like a group home, you'll have a tough time getting that too, says Nicole Kareem. She works for the North Carolina Healthcare Association, which represents the state's community hospitals. And she agrees the problem is finances. Without adequate pay, a lot of therapists, nurses, and aides essential to residential care have been leaving the mental health field.
Until they feel like they can make a living taking insurance or being in Medicaid, we will continue to see what we're seeing, where almost half of all therapists and psychiatrists don't take any insurance and just do self-pay.
With fewer people to staff residential care, there's less care available.
And in some instances, we have to send kids out of state because we don't have it here. And that should be our metric for change. We shouldn't have to send people out of state for services that we can do here.
190 kids with behavioral health problems were sent to out-of-state psychiatric residential treatment facilities in the first 3 months of this year, according to state data. In March, the North Carolina legislature voted to expand Medicaid. It won't go into effect until the state enacts a budget, but then an estimated 600,000 North Carolinians will be eligible for coverage. Secretary Kinsley says that will have a small but immediate effect on emergency room boarding, because community hospitals with empty psych beds will now have paying customers. And he says right now there are 130 empty beds with staff who can immediately begin caring for patients.
When we look at having 130 empty beds across the state at a time we have 300 people looking for beds, those are 130 staffed beds. Getting the ability to pay for those beds through insurance and through, you know, increased payment will turn on in a flash.
Kinsley's also optimistic the legislature will approve a plan to spend $1 billion on mental health care using federal expansion dollars. If the legislature okays it, there would be money to build out a crisis support system to divert people from emergency rooms. And there'd also be money to increase Medicaid payments to try to grow the mental health workforce. Dr. Steinle of Cone Health is hopeful, but he worries that even if all that money is approved, it won't make a difference for the number of people stuck in his emergency rooms. With a standalone psychiatric hospital, another psychiatric ward, and a new geriatric mental health unit, Cone has a greater ability to place patients than most emergency rooms. But Steinle says that won't be enough to stem the problem.
What's happened in the last 5 years, the growth of this problem is not a linear growth, it's exponential. There are days when fully 90-95% of our ER beds are occupied by boarding patients.
And that means long waits for people in the ERs across the state. For WFAE News, I'm Dana Miller Irvin.
The series was edited by Greg Collard and Aaron Texera. Our researcher is Mona Dugani. The podcast is edited and produced by me, Eric Thiel, at WFAE in Charlotte. Fractured is a collaboration between WFAE and the PBS series Frontline through its local journalism initiative, which is funded by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.